Tamquam sponsus dominus procedens de talamus suo. He proceeds as a bridegroom coming out of his bride chamber. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today the prophets are fulfilled. Our debt is paid. Today the King enters, so to sanctify the city of our hearts, as we just heard in the Alleluia verse, tomorrow the sin of the world will be destroyed. In the ancient Roman world, the life of an earthly city could be completely changed by a singular event, the appearance of imperial standards on the horizon, signaling the arrival of the Emperor of Rome. On certain triumphal occasions, when the Roman Emperor entered a city of his realm, the local citizens, sparing no expense to welcome their prince, would in turn be treated to the pageantry of the imperial parade of countless glistening swords and shields of the Roman legions marching in front of their emperor, and at the end of a long procession, the prince himself would appear, adorned with precious jewels and sumptuous garments. Not only did the emperor's presence signify that great wealth and attention would be lavished on the fortunate city graced by his visit, but in the violent world of the late Roman Empire, where cities fearing attack often so fell, the emperor's presence meant instead health, security, and peace. The Romans gave a name to this regal ceremony of welcome. They called it Adventus, or Advent, and we are about to bring to a triumphant end this very ceremony for the true King and Emperor of our souls. Holy Mother Church, from at least the 5th century of our Christian age, has commanded us to observe a time of preparation for our Lord's coming, and the parallel should be striking to us. The King of Kings will this very night process before us, entering the city of our world to take up home in our very midst, in the midst of our very hearts, lavishing the city of God with his superabundant graces. Saint Athanasius, the great defender of true Catholic belief, hails especially our safety and victory in Christ, comparing the imperial Roman Adventus to the true Adventus of our heavenly King. The great doctor of the Church says, quote, "Now that Christ has come to our realm and taken up his abode in one body among his peers, henceforth the whole conspiracy of the enemy against mankind is checked, and the corruption of death, which before was prevailing against them, is done away. For the race of men had gone to ruin, had not the Lord and Savior of all, the Son of God, come among us to meet the end of death." End quote. The arrival of Christ the King, the Prince of Peace, heralds the end of our inevitable defeat before sin, the end of our losses against the devil, the flesh, and the world. Yet we might say, how can we speak of triumph when the Catholic world is more divided than ever? How can we speak of peace and truth when we are beset on all sides by error and war? How can we speak of holiness when we are still beguiled by sin? In today's Gospel, Saint Joseph, our great patron and protector, grappled with a seemingly impossible dilemma. Joseph knows the great virtue of his bride, the Blessed Virgin Mary. He knows that she is chaste and pure, but he cannot escape the reality that she is indeed with child. He knows with equal certainty that this child could not be his. Furthermore, as some scholars have argued convincingly, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph had mutually agreed beforehand to live their marriage in complete continence. The dilemma thus fills our hearts with questions. Why did Mary not reveal her secret to Joseph? Why did our great patron not ask the secret of her? To these latter questions, we have no answer. But we can sense, nevertheless, the anguish in Joseph's heart. How often have we ourselves been led to an agonizing moment of confusion, of doubt? How often do the events unfolding before us, even in the church, appear contradictory and discouraging, in spite of the truth we know in our hearts and confess with our lips? Sometimes our Lord's divine providence permits that we be brought to such a test, like Saint Joseph, that the truth, at least for a time, be hidden, as Saint Jerome says, under the veil of silence. The truth of the divine origin of the Christ child conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary is hid by such a veil. Yet that truth was veiled for but a moment in order to unveil the great virtue of Saint Joseph. How natural to us, were we in the place of our great saint and patron, would it have been to give way to rash judgment, to assume in his place, perish the thought that there had been some infraction on the divine purity of the Blessed Virgin. Yet as Saint Jerome and the Blessed Cardinal Schuster explain, Joseph, ever faithful, husband ever true, beholds the mystery in reverent awe, and in humility he refuses to pass judgment, refuses to condemn Our Lady to the Sanhedrin. Instead, counting himself unworthy of whatever mystery is unfolding, for he recognizes a mystery that surpasses himself and his understanding, he wishes to withdraw, placing Mary and himself thus in the hands of God, trusting in his loving providence. The trust of Joseph, whom God himself calls just, is not disappointed, and a divine emissary soon comes to shatter the night of doubt that darkens the pure soul of the guardian of virgins. At his first advent, then, our Lord seems to delight in contradictions that thwart our proud human reasoning. Hiding here from Joseph is the very God whose works proclaim unceasingly his greatness. Our Lord, the master of all, appears at last in the form of a slave, as St. Paul says. He, the eloquent word of God, becomes an infant, infans literally meaning one who cannot speak. He, born the king of all the world by right, who will gain again that right by the conquest of his cross, appears not in wealth, but here instead in poverty, where his first and only treasure is the love that dwells in the hearts of Mary and Joseph. He has come to wed himself to the human race, his bride waiting to be redeemed by his blood. His providence had determined that such a mission of love, of a divine marriage between Christ and his bride, was better served by the humility and meekness of the divine groom, of his ultimate sacrifice for his beloved. In this moment that all the world has waited for, that fallen humanity had sought for millennia in vain, the humility of the bridegroom of our souls should fill us with boundless confidence. The proposal in love is addressed to each of us. Our Lord deliberately sheds, as he approaches, all appearance of power in the hope that we too might shed all appearance of fear in approaching him. These past days, practically on the eve of Christmas, a scandalous document was issued that disturbed so many of our souls. Why is this document so horribly wrong? An answer is apparent from so much of what we have just considered together. Look no further than the crib awaiting the advent of our King. There is a divine heart beating and burning for love of us that desperately wants to destroy all sin. The mystery of human love is now no mere worldly love, and it is a love no longer merely human. Why should our Savior suffer the manger and the cold? Why the thorns and the cross? It was not to canonize our proclivities. It was not to leave us in our agony, but to free us for true love, to love Him. Christ has become one of us to sanctify every part of us. There can be no hard dichotomy between the sacraments issuing forth from priestly hands and some new kind of priestly blessing of what we already know to be sinful. In attempting to create a blessing for homosexual unions and other immoral states of life, the architects of this latest scandal strive in vain to carve out a part of the world separate from the sacraments. But the God who appears at Bethlehem has come to conquer the world in a war where He will leave no quarter, where He will accept nothing less than our complete surrender. We are ordained to the priesthood of Jesus Christ not to limit the influence of the Blessed Eucharist and the sacraments, but to extend their loving empire in truth and justice to every aspect of human life, from the altar to the table, from the pulpit to the Capitol, to shatter the reign of Satan at every moment and in every human heart. How could we hope, therefore, to bless sin? How could we hope to bless a state that contradicts the law of God? How could we hope to bless unnatural and immoral unions that are the direct mockery of the mystical union that begins this sacred night at the Nativity, the union of the Divine King with His beloved bride, the Church, redeemed humanity? How could we priests, waging war in the name of our loving conqueror, bless the very chains of sin that bind the people He so desperately loves? How could we bless the chains He will soon give His life to destroy? In our loving embrace of the Divine Child this holy night, let us imitate, therefore, the loving trust of Saint Joseph. Confronted with division in the Church, we know by faith that the Bride of Christ is immaculate, without blemish or wrinkle, as Saint Paul says. Let us remember, too, what the sacred liturgy repeated to us so often throughout Advent. If the Lord delay, await Him still, for He is surely coming. He has brought us to a moment of great trial. With Saint Joseph, let us abandon ourselves to His love. Merely human eyes could look on present troubles and scandalous documents as a definitive contradiction of the truth we know and love. But we ourselves are no longer merely human. This sacred night makes of us partakers of the divine nature. Let us look then with divine eyes and wait in hopeful trust for the Christ child waiting to be born anew in our souls, waiting to be born anew in the Church. He who gave His life for the Church, who loves her more than we could possibly hope to love her, He will deliver her. At a moment of His choosing, our divine Emperor will come. He will end the present troubles and restore Holy Mother Church to the glory which is naturally hers. It belongs to us to hold fast in our faithful combat against sin, pursuing it ruthlessly in our hearts and in every aspect of our lives. The second Adventus of our King approaches quickly, when all the hearts that belong to Him will have been redeemed by His blood. His glorious standard will return, not in the meekness of the manger, but in triumphant glory, when He will come to judge the world by fire. Our preparation for that Advent should be no different than the way we close this Advent, by the constant surrender in thought, word, and deed of our hearts and our very lives to the triumphant King who this night crosses the threshold of our world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.